A theater troupe gathers on stage in their Minneapolis Warehouse District practice space. They look like any other group of costumed, sequined actors, but these players are mentally disabled. The group called Interact is applying for a $5,000 grant from the Grotto Foundation. They're performing for Grotto Program Officer Ellen Liberatore, who's come to inspect the group firsthand. They launch into a song called Too Many Chromosomes, inspired by the fact that many of them suffer from Down syndrome, and lampooning a society that keeps them from living normal lives.
Too many chromosomes, rah, rah.
Liberatore was once a mental health worker, and she bursts into tears as they perform.
Are you crying?
Are you crying?
After the performance is over, she sits among them.
We get a lot of applications for grants to do lots of different things in the community, and we make visits. And this has got to be one of the best visits I've ever had, I have to tell you.
Interact's $5,000 request would represent only a small fraction of the $900,000 Grotto will give away this year. But even for small applications, Liberatore routinely visits potential grantees to make sure the money will be well used. Grotto was established in the 1930s by Louis W. Hill, the grandson of railroad tycoon James J. Hill. Its assets have grown from about $8 million in 1996 to roughly $33 million this year. That's still tiny compared to the state's largest giver, the McKnight Foundation, whose endowment totaled some $1.9 billion in 1998. But Grotto's responsibilities have grown along with its assets. Staff members are inspecting six times as many grant proposals as they did in 1995. The foundation installed new software to track grants and to boost productivity. But soon, Grotto and other foundations may have to do even more to ensure each new grant proposal receives the attention it deserves.
Everybody who's involved with a foundation, whether they're a trustee or a staff person, is concerned about stewardship for the dollars.
Jackie Reese is executive director of the Minnesota Council on Foundations.
Because in a sense, these are public dollars. The donor has been given a tax deduction in order to set up the foundation. And so there's a stewardship or fiduciary responsibility that the people involved with them have.
Increasingly, local foundations are grappling with this issue as they watch their investments climb. The assets of Minnesota foundations grew some 87% between 1994 and 98. Minnesota foundations gave more than $600 million to nonprofits in 1998. That's almost 60% more than in 94. Figures from last year aren't yet available, but judging from the stock market's performance, it's safe to say foundations saw another big rise in their endowments. Federal law requires foundations to give away at least 5% of their assets each year. So the sharp rise in their funds is presenting some groups with novel problems, like the Bush Foundation discovered last winter. They'd pegged their giving for this year at $35 million, but the foundation's assets had risen more than expected, and in February, board members were surprised to discover they had an extra $10 million to give away. Anita Pampush is president of the Bush Foundation. She and the board are busy crafting new goals for the foundation to manage its growing riches.
If we continued in exactly the same way as we're operating right now, the number of proposals would have to skyrocket in order to reach that level of contribution over the year. And so we would either have to add a lot of staff, or we would have to make much larger grants or something.
Pampush says it's tempting to parcel out only large grants to large organizations. That would save time the staff would have otherwise spent perusing smaller proposals. She says the foundation would like to resist that temptation.
The real challenge for us is to try to maintain the level of rigor that we've always had in reviewing proposals, and at the same time to remain open to, well, let's say the little guys, because the smaller groups, small nonprofit groups, have always been able to come to the Bush Foundation. And we don't really want to become a foundation that is only going to make grants to large, well-established organizations.
So the board decided to do something unusual. It turned to other foundations for help in spending the extra $10 million. The Minneapolis Foundation is one of the groups submitting a proposal for some of that money. Not that it's short of funds. In the last 5 years, its assets have just about doubled to more than $390 million. It's added staff and expanded its downtown office. But like the Bush Foundation, the Minneapolis Foundation needed a new plan to deal with its growing wealth. In more modest times, the foundation aimed dollars at specific problems with hopes of creating specific solutions. Now it's looking to use its swollen reserves to change systems, in some cases to help restructure several layers of bureaucracy. Emmett Carson is president of the Minneapolis Foundation.
Only with those very large mega grants can you make systematic major change. The increase in funds has allowed us to do that.
The foundation recently gave $139,000 over 2 years to Hennepin County. Every year, police in the county bring in about 200 kids under the age of 10 who've committed crimes. Research shows that such children often end up lifetime clients of the justice system. The foundation's grant will locate at-risk kids and provide them with mentors who can guide them away from trouble. And it will pay to see that a child deals with only one person from the county, rather than with several contacts from a patchwork of agencies. Catherine Roberts is the Vice President of Programs at the Minneapolis Foundation.
To measure whether you've made a significant change in a system or whether you've really influenced public policy in a positive way will not only be more complicated, it will also take more time.
Hennepin County Attorney Amy Klobuchar says the program was considered too long-term and too risky for the county to fund. But the foundation, with its impressive endowment, could do it.
The foundation was willing to step up to the plate and say, let's look at this more than just one day at a time. Let's look at this kid not just as a problem at age 15, but start looking at this kid when he starts getting in trouble at age 8.
Catherine Roberts says the Minneapolis Foundation is using its growing endowment to make a series of similar large grants, including one that's helping pay for a new affordable housing program. I'm Andrew Haig, Minnesota Public Radio.
When the county is overloaded with kids being murdered and kids having to be taken out of their homes, it's very hard to have that extra money to actually look at what else can we do.